Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Let's continue on. Who or what controls your mind? And so we covered last time some of the things we need to do to control our minds, but let's see how we can control our minds. We're going to see we need the Word of God, we need the Spirit of God, and we need the Sabbath and the holy days. Reason being, we need the Word of God because it's the truth, and that's the only way you overcome having a deceitful carnal mind. Okay? Need the Spirit of God because then God can lead you and direct you with His Spirit. And when you're reading the Scriptures and you have the Holy Spirit of God, you're able to derive more understanding from them because Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Okay? Now, God made our minds to be programmed. And we have trillions of cells in our brain. And we have billions of what are called connections or synapses. And what these are like the electrical network in your mind, so the bioelectrical system of your mind works and it programs it. Okay? Now, your mind is capable of forgetting. Of course, we all know that, don't we? Yes. But it's capable of learning and remembering. Now, let's see how we can take all of these things and combine them together and see how we can guard the door of our minds and really understand the Word of God. And it is a discipline that comes from studying the Bible. Okay? Now, Paul talks about athletics and those who go to win the prize, that they train their bodies, they take care of their bodies, they watch what they do. And he said that's how he took care of himself. Well, since what we are doing is spiritually centered and grounded, let's see with the Word of God what God tells us we need to do with our minds. So let's see how. Let's come to Psalm 119. Let's see how we are able to overcome the carnal mind, because we all have human nature, and human nature is going to be there and cause us to sin. But God's Spirit with us will convict us of that sin so we can repent. So here's what we do. Now, let's add this to it. We are to become what the Bible says, spiritually minded. Okay? And to become spiritually minded, you need the Word of God. Now, this is where personal study comes in every day, personal prayer comes in every day, and where Sabbath is the big thing of the week from this point of view. Wherever people gather in truth and honesty, on the Sabbath day, God's Spirit will be there in addition to what you have within you. God's Spirit will then help and inspire all of us to learn together. Now you see, the truth is, those who do the teaching, those who do the ministering, they are also to learn from the Word of God. And the truth is that the ministers and elders are not in a position between God and the person like they have in religions in the world. We're to be teachers so that we all together can grow and learn and change and become spiritually minded. So here is Psalm 119. Now let's begin in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. See, in the way. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, undefiled means that you have your sins forgiven. and you're walking in the way of God. There is a way to live, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, this is quite contrary to what the Protestants believe, that if you try and keep the laws of God, they're a burden. Well, if you're carnal-minded and you don't want to keep the laws of God, they are a burden. Now, notice, continuing, blessed. So here we have two blessings in a row. Question, do you want the blessings of God? See? Yes. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with the whole heart. Now, hold your place right here and come to Matthew 22. We'll come right back. Matthew 22. Because there was an argument the other day by some people, which is the test commandment? Well, they said thus and such was the test commandment, but it wasn't. So, matter of fact, when you come down to it, all of them are test commandments, wouldn't you think? All right. Now, here, Matthew 22. Most of you know where I'm going. Verse 35. Then one of the doctors of the law, one of the learned men, he's got his special little hat on, he has his garments on with his phylacteries, and he has all of his merit badges and everything that you would have today, like, you know, a doctor of theology, doctor of philosophy, etc. Question him, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now he's going to quote from Deuteronomy 6. So what does this tell us? The Old Testament and New Testament belong together, correct? Yes. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, if you hang something, like if you hang something on a clothesline to dry, what gives the support? The clothesline. So if you say, we don't need the laws of God, you have no clothesline, as it were, on which to hang it. See? And it's not that the law and the prophets compose the law of God. They all hang from the law of God. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 119 again. If you seek him with a whole heart, well, we just read how that is to be. Now, notice what happens with this. They do no sin. They walk in his ways. Let's ask another question. If you keep the commandments, whose works are you doing? Yours or God's? You're keeping God's, right? So then, if you're doing what God says, how can you be trying to earn salvation by law keeping? You're not. See? Those are the things that God created that we are to walk in. All right? You commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Now then, he looked at himself and saw his own human nature. And this is what we do. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. In other words, if I could really be, you know, on top of it all the time, then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. Notice all, not some. See, because human nature likes to do this. Human nature likes to read the Bible to find out what they prefer and would accept and what they would not want and reject. It's like Alan Dershowitz. He was giving a lecture on greed. And someone brought up to him about the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. Because if you're greedy, are you not coveting? He says, that's why that commandment would never work in Wall Street. See? We don't need that commandment. Wealth is built on greed. Okay? So we have respect to all your commandments. So I just did 4 programs for Church at Home this past week, and it was Church at Home after 2 years. So I was covering the 10 commandments, and I went through all of them. I pointed out how the Catholics in their catechism removed the second commandment, but in their Bible they keep it in there. At least the ones who do the Bible have a little fear of the Lord. So I reminded the Catholics, why don't you ask your priest why you have idols and statues in your cathedrals and temples, and why your Bible, the Douay English version says, or the American Standard version says, for the second commandment, you shall not make, nor bow down, nor worship, see? So we'll find out what happens with that, see? So I pointed out the same thing. People like to go through and say, well, now, no other gods. Now, I don't know how we can keep that, because there's so many religions in the world, and, you know, after all, they're all seeking God and going to the same place. In that, that's a true statement, too. They're seeking the wrong God, so hence they're going to the same place, see? Okay? So all your commandments, and then I went through all 10. So we give all credit for what we learn of God's way to God. Verse 7, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. And this is true. The more that you learn about God's way, the more you understand how good it really is. Now, verse 8, I will keep your statutes or forsake me not utterly. And that is, if I miss the mark. Now, you will notice Psalm 119, right above each 8-verse section, there is a Hebrew letter, and what that is the alphabet. And in the Hebrew, every verse in the first 8 verses begin with Alpha. Next 8 verses, Beth, it begins, every verse begins with that. And this was a hymn that they were to memorize, and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And that's why you have the number of verses that you have in Psalm 119. So it shows a complete communication from God to man, and how man is to respond to God in seeking him. Now, verse 9 tells us, and we'll go through this one section, we won't read any more, but I suggest you read all of Psalm 119 slowly, carefully, and think about it. And then ask the question, since all of God's laws and commandments and statutes and testimonies are so good, why would people want to do away with them? Why would they say, God bless me, but we're throwing away your law? You're not going to be blessed. And the way that you start not being blessed is what knowledge you think you have is being taken away from you. So here, verse 9, this ties right in with what we're doing about who and what controls your mind. With what shall a young man cleanse his way? Now that's any man, young, old, any woman, young, old. By taking heed according to your word. See, now the word then means all of what God has given. That's why he's given the whole Bible. Okay. Now notice, with all my heart I have sought you. And that ties right in with what we covered in Matthew 22. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Now you see, how then, when you do this, when you apply these things this way, something is happening in your mind. And if you have things in there from the past which have misprogrammed your mind, this will help reprogram it correctly. Okay? Now, hold your place here and come to Hebrews 10 in the New Testament. Hebrews 10 in the New Testament. All right. Now, Hebrews 10, let's pick it up here in verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, "This is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds. And their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again." So you see, it helps, as we covered last time, concerning the washing of the water of the Word. But how is God going to give his laws into your mind and inscribe them, give them into your hearts, and inscribe them in your minds? You must study. Because they know that when you study, when you think, your mind is actually working to remember. And you are actually inscribing on your brain electrically, because with the Spirit of God and the bioelectrics we have in our minds, you're actually literally programming your mind. And this is what scientists want to figure out. How can they make a biocomputer? Ever wonder what they do with some of the fetus cells that are aborted? Ever wonder what they did with the partial birth abortion? Do you know what they did with partial birth abortion? They got the head out part way and then took an instrument, thrust it through the skull, and sucked out the brains. Then they give the brains to the scientist. Now, after we've covered some of these things concerning transhumanism, there's a whole lot more to go. We'll have some more on that as well, too. What do you suppose they're doing with those human brain cells? Do you suppose they might be experimenting to figure out how they can create a biocomputer? So I'll just leave it at that. Okay. All right, back to Psalm 119. So here's how we have it given in our minds and our hearts and inscribed by this very way here. Verse 11, "Your word have I laid up in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate upon your precepts and have respect to your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes and will not forget your word." Right there, these eight verses are then the prescription on how you could use the Word of God to reprogram your mind. Now, let's come to Psalm, the first chapter. Let's see another thing concerning it. And here's how the Scripture just reinforces itself. This is one many of you have probably memorized. Now, notice how similar this is to Psalm 119. Okay? Psalm 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." So it starts out the same way. Blessed, see? "Nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." That's how then you program your mind. "He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that brings forth its fruit in season, and its leaves shall not wither. All that he does shall prosper." And prosperity does not necessarily always come in terms of monetary remuneration. Is good health prospering? Is a sound mind prospering? Is understanding right from wrong prospering? Is learning the laws and commandments of God prospering? Yes, indeed. Having God's angels protect you, is that prospering? All of those things, see? So sometimes when we read the scriptures, we need to take the time and stop and think about them, analyze them, ask questions, okay? But the wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, but they'll fall, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. So this is how you control your mind. You control what goes into it. Now, let's come to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs is that book which is made for understanding. It is made to program the brain. Now today, children grow up and become adults and they've never had their minds programmed with the Word of God, so they're misprogrammed. So they don't know truth from error. Today, one of the biggest things that they find, yes, they graduate from high school, but they don't know how to add and subtract. Yes, they can do texting, but their total misspelling and their English is awful, okay? And if they don't have a cash register that thinks for them, they can't even count change. And so then the youth say, well, why can't I get a job? The answer is, why don't you go study? Since you had such a stupid school that you went to, you can't get a job. Now you got to do it yourself. Now, on the other hand, there are a lot of homeschoolers. And guess what? Guess what the employers look for? Those who have been homeschooled. Why? Because they can think. Because they have had to teach themselves. Because they haven't had any of the evil socialistic and evil things put into their mind. See, one of the first ways you start disrupting the minds of children is you begin teaching them sex at an early age. And then as they get older, their minds are constantly on sex, and they can't get their minds off of it. They become obsessed with it. Now, so obsessed, I was startled the other day to find out that every day in America, there are over 1,000 abortions. Well, every abortion is a destroyed life and a ruined brain and heart. Now, God will intervene to repair that. But just think how much better it would have been, see, if they would have done it God's way. Now, let's come to Proverbs 1, and let's see why Proverbs was made. And this is why I recommend it for all teenagers. Study, repeat, study, repeat, study, repeat, study the book of Proverbs. Because this is going to get your thinking straightened around. Because one of the problems with teenagers is this. When the frontal cortex starts kicking in and they begin to think more like adults, they can begin to see a lot of problems that their parents have. So they think that they now have a deep understanding of things when they're just beginning to learn. See? That's why they need this. Now notice, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. So ask the question, as we go through here, this will help you be able to understand how to study. To know wisdom. All right, let's look at the opposite, because we're going to see all of the Proverbs are good and evil, right and wrong, righteous and sinful, the diligent, the sloth, all the way through. So, to know wisdom, do you want to be stupid? Of course not. and instruction. Wouldn't you like to learn how to use your mind and your body God's way so you can be blessed? To perceive words of understanding. In other words, to know when someone is telling something that is worthwhile and differentiate what is stupid and foolish. I think all the politicians need to go back and start here, don't you? To receive instruction of wisdom. You want instruction in stupidity? No. Righteousness. Well, now, some may object to that. They ran a survey in Australia. They ran a survey of teenage girls. Who would you rather go out with? And they named one of the rock stars, or Jesus Christ. Oh, they said, well, who wouldn't want to go out with Jesus Christ? He'd be no fun. Do they have their thinking messed up? What are they going to do with their lives thinking like that? See? Go to the book of Proverbs. To give prudence, or that is knowledge and understanding, yeah, righteousness and judgment and equity. Know what is right and good and fair. To give prudence to the simple. In other words, make you wise. Knowledge and discernment to the young man. Also, to the young woman. Remember, all of you who believe in women's rights, every one of you is a woman. And the last three letters of that word is man. Because woman came from man. So wherever you see man in here, that applies to women too. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Constantly learn. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and its interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now here is the key. Right here. Verse 7. Here's how to start. You don't come along as a know-it-all teenager. Now all teenagers go through it. All teenagers think they know more than their parents, especially when they get out with their friends when their parents aren't around and look at all of the smart things that they do. And they get in trouble. Okay? So here it is, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, so that you don't do stupid things. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you see how it goes through? See how it teaches? Notice what you're thinking when we go through these things, see? Because human mind is made to understand right and wrong, good and evil. It's made to increase in knowledge, to increase in understanding. And you have it broken down this way. Information is something you hear. Knowledge is something you know. Understanding means you know how the knowledge works, and wisdom is when you put all four of those together. That's how it is. Okay? So he says, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Yes. Always remember your mother. And Dolores has said many times to our children, your mother has said, yes, and she is very wise. Sometimes she does a few foolish things, but not as much as all the men in the household having a husband and three sons. Okay. Forsake not the law of your mother. Okay. When I was losing my temper, my mother said, Freddie! You don't want to become like so-and-so, do you? Okay. Did I remember that? Has it helped me? Yes. Okay. That's some 62 years later. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon your head and chains around your neck. Now, this is not going to make you popular with those who want to go out and sin. So whose favor do you want? The favor of God or the acceptance of your friends? Well, here the first chapter begins to answer this, see? One of the first things that Proverbs does is tell the young people, listen to your father and your mother first, not your friends. Comment, we'll put it into the record here. Comment was made that recently on the news, police in a certain county came upon a rest stop where there was a school bus full of teenagers. And they pulled in there to see what they were doing. And they had stashes of drugs, marijuana, and everything to actually destroy their lives, if you want to look at it that way. Okay? So the police came in, and it was a small town. So the police didn't want to cause a big problem in a small town with so many of the teenagers. I don't know how many there were, but if you have a bus full, you probably have 30 or more. So this was planned for a long time, and everybody knew it. And you can almost say, well, we're going to go, all of us are going to go on a bus for whatever kind of trip. Is that okay, Mom? Yes. Bang. Out the door. So the police said, look, if you put away your drugs, we won't arrest you, we won't put you to jail, but we're going to come in and we're going to take all your drugs and all your paraphernalia away from you. They refused. Then the police talked to him and told him, now look, you're really going to get in trouble here. And so they finally came to their senses and gave up their drugs and things. But what I'm going to read next, if they would have been taught the book of Proverbs, they would have had the mental tenacity to say no to these things. Because the first thing it talks about here in the book of Proverbs for the young people is this. Now this can apply to adults, so forth. Okay? Stay away from gangs. Let's read it. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Oh, let's go have a ball. Let's have a blast. Here, we'll take a snort of this and a puff of that. We'll have a great time. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let's go out and steal. And it, don't they have with some of the gangs? Oh, you want to join this gang? Ah, look, you little young punk. Now you got to go out and steal something. So wanting to join a gang, he goes out and steals something and brings it back. Good boy. Okay, you can tag along. Well, I want to join the club. Well, you can't join the gang because there are other requirements that you have to do. What is that? Well, then you have to beat up people, number two. And then if you want to get into the one of the leadership of the gang, you got to kill somebody. See? Lie in wait for blood. We will watch secretly for the innocent without cause. Now what happens? Oh, look at this dumb dodo walking down the sidewalk here. Let's get him. We will watch secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those who go down into the pit. Is this today's news headlines? Yes, indeed. A lot of Muslims ought to read that so they will not end up being suicide bombers. Now, there one man in Egypt contacted me and wanted to know about what we're doing and so forth. Now, the way we send things to people overseas like that, it's too expensive to mail the books and the Bibles, so we send them digitally. So we said, okay, we'll send you some things digitally. You print them out, you use them to help you with your teaching. So I asked him, and I didn't know he was an older man. He's 62. And he's been preaching, you know, the form of Christianity that he's known all these years. And I said, tell me, how is it that you teach Christ in Egypt with all the Muslims? And he said, it's very difficult. He said, they do not comprehend love. See, because they take their little kids and put them into madrasas or the schools at age 4. And they drill everything into their brains, Hatred, killing, all in the name of Allah. And then he sent me a series of about 20 pictures. And he said, everybody in the West better be prepared, because this is what's coming your way. And I believe it is. You know, a lot of people say, well, oh, this is election is the most important election that there has been in the history of America, because if we don't change course, we're going to lose America. That's a true statement. However, how did we get to this point? By sin. And the only candidate that comes close to saying what should be right, and this is not an endorsement, but this is just to acknowledge the truth, is Rick Santorum. He has said that unless we get our moral values straightened out, it doesn't matter what we do politically. And in that's a true statement. Because God is not looking down to the Democrats and saying, oh, you're the bad boys, let's get you out. Oh, you Republicans, you're just fine. Hey, come on in. No, God is looking down and saying the whole thing is corrupt. And unless there's repentance everywhere, by everyone, only curses are going to come. And unimaginable evil is going to come. I'll have to show you those 20 pictures next week. I think it will blow your mind. And remember, when you see them, it's already started in England. The Muslims are claiming England. See, if the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel do not repent and return to God, and the British are, Ephraim, God is going to send the enemy. And who better to send than those who hate us and who are related to us through Esau and Ishmael? That's what's coming. But I thought it was interesting what he said. He said the way that they present the name of God is Jehovah, Lord, Elohim, God. Jehovah, Elohim. Now, I talked to another Arab one time, or one who speaks Arabic, and he said that they were working on a Bible where they called God Allah. Well, that's not the way to do it in the Middle East. I think that this man has it right. He has it exactly right. See? Jehovah Elohim. Allah is a false god. Allah, like all the other religions, are serving Satan, the devil. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and take a little break.